Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Has everyone been enjoying 2 Corinthians? Yeah. Almost done 2 Corinthians? Sometimes it feels like we do the same book for a long time, but this one's been pretty quick, I think, compared to some of the others that Pastor Danny's done. Okay, so today we are doing 2 Corinthians 12, the thorn in the flesh, which is something that I feel like we've all heard a lot about and maybe skimmed past and didn't really understand. Paul's complaining, and we read it and then kind of forget about it. So today we're going to dig into it a little bit more. I'm going to start by, we're just going to read the first 10 verses together. So if you have your Bibles, I don't know if you can read that, but if you have your phone or your Bible, let's read together. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Let's pray. Father, as we dive into this scripture today, would you make it real to us in a new way? Teach us something new this morning. We're ready to hear from you. Amen. So, we live in a world obsessed with projecting strength, right? Social media, you scroll through, you see sort of like the curated, the gym selfies, the career wins or your family moments. We see all those like strong moments on social media, even just outside of social media. We tend to, we want to share where we're strong and boast about the things that we've done. It's not that those things are wrong. It's just we're constantly presenting the best, strongest version of ourselves, right? Not necessarily a wrong thing, but we highlight the wins and we tend to edit out the weaknesses. We don't post sometimes we post when we mess up. No one's posting, the argument on the car on the way to church. Just us? Okay. try to get everybody out the door. We post when we're strong, or we share the things that we're strong at, because deep down we all have a desire to hear someone else say, well, like, wow, that was really impressive, or, wow, you're, like, you pass. You're really significant. This isn't anything new, and it's not necessarily something wrong, but it's something that's happened for generations and generations, all the way back to Corinth. So at the time of Paul writing this letter to the Corinthians, this was a common thing that people would boast about what they were strong in. So I'll give you a little bit of background. I didn't want to read all of the verses of chapter 11, but a little background from 2 Corinthians 11. In chapter 11, Paul is defending his ministry. So the church in Corinth had started listening to who Paul sarcastically calls the super apostles. So they were like impressive, polished, charismatic speakers who looked really strong and looked, you know, really spiritually powerful. But they were critiquing Paul because he wasn't flashy enough. He wasn't eloquent enough. He wasn't there enough. So they started spreading rumors about Paul that he didn't care about the church in Corinth, that he had abandoned them, and that he, you know, he hadn't come around enough. And they also started preaching a gospel about a super Jesus. So someone who like lacked the humility and suffering that we know that our Lord Jesus carried. So Paul, in his way, he gets a little snippy with them, and he's like, well, if we're going to boast about all the things that we're strong at, let's go. And instead of listing accomplishments, at the end of chapter 11, he goes through this catalog of like all the things that he's gone through. And you guys can read it. But he goes through like, I was imprisoned and I was beat up and I was in a shipwreck and I got lashed 40 times and I was, you know, robbed and I struggled with hunger and thirst and sleepless nights. He goes through this whole list of things that he's suffered. And then he says, so if I am going to boast, let me boast in my weakness. I went through all these things that made me weak. And then he sort of flips the script on them and says, you know, you think that life works, that you have to be strong and show how you're strong so that we will listen to you. But he says, I'm weak, and I went through all these things, and so if I'm weak for these things, then how can I teach you? And then that's what he gets into in chapter 12. He starts diving into, this is what I can boast in so that I have the authority to teach you. My spiritual experiences. So in chapter 12, he reluctantly shares, and I say reluctantly, because he received incredible spiritual experiences of being caught up. He talks this story of being caught up to the third heaven, to paradise. And I say reluctantly because as we study the scriptures, we know Paul's talking about himself, even though he says, I knew a man. We know that he was talking about himself, but he doesn't want to boast in those things of like, well, I'm so good that I got caught up to the third heaven. So he talks about it in third person and distances himself from it. The other leaders are very happy to talk about themselves, and so Paul deliberately holds it at arm's length. They will talk about their visions, and they'll talk about the things that God has told them. Paul chooses to talk about one that he's not even really allowed to talk about. So the word paradise comes from a Persian word that means a walled garden. So when a Persian king wished to confer a very special honor on someone dear to him, he would make him a companion of the garden, and he would walk through the gardens in companionship with him. In this experience, as Paul shares this story of being in paradise, in this walled garden, he's literally telling a story of being a companion with God. So he's saying, you know, if I have something to boast about, let me tell you about this experience that I had where I literally walked with the Lord. So why does he mention this at all? Well, it sets up the peak of his boasting, the thing that brought him the lowest, the thorn in the flesh. So in verse 7, you can go to the next slide. In verse 7, he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. So this revelation, like he's had this amazing moment with the Lord. And he's like, to keep me from getting too conceited about what I experienced, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So after this glorious moment with God, he was given a painful moment. The question is, that the long-asked question, so what was the thorn? The answer is, we actually don't know. The King James Version and the Revised Standard Versions, they use that term, the thorn in the flesh. But in the Greek, the word can mean thorn, scolops. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. Evan can correct me later. Usually it means stake or a very sharp splinter. So something like what a criminal would be impaled upon, a very sharp stake. So something like this is what Paul is saying when he talks about the thorn that was given him to keep him from getting conceited was like a very sharp splinter twisting in his body. Now, what exactly was this thorn in his flesh? It wasn't a literal stake that he was being impaled upon. There's many answers that theologians consider. Some would say it's psychological. Some would say it's something physical. Some would say it's like a real human opponent. It's been suggested, there's a few different suggestions. Some have suggested it was his physical appearance, like there was some sort of disfigurement that hindered his work. Some think that maybe Paul had epilepsy or debilitating headaches. Another theory that is that Paul suffered from eye trouble, and that would explain his headaches, that maybe his eyes never fully recovered after he was blinded on the road to Damascus. We see a lot in a lot of the books where he says things like, see what large letters I'm using to write to you, which could describe the characters of a man writing and he could barely see. Some also think that maybe he suffered from a virus similar to malaria, where it was very viral in many of the areas that Paul traveled. So Paul, there's lots of theories. Paul doesn't actually tell us what the thorn in the flesh is. He does tell us that it was given to him as a gift. So even though it was a messenger of Satan sent to harass him, continues to tell him how weak he is, you'll never amount to anything, he considers it a gift given to him for his good to keep him, he says twice, to keep him from becoming conceited. To stop him from falling for the temptation of the leaders that were there, that were sort of feeding that into the church in Corinth, thinking that they're better than the rest and consumed with self-importance. Now, maybe that's why Paul doesn't tell us what it is. Because if it was his eyes, then we might say, well, mine are fine, so I don't have that problem. Or if it was something psychological or something like depression, we might say, well, I don't struggle with that, so that's not my problem. Or if it was like a physical opponent, we might be like, well, everybody likes me, so I don't struggle the way Paul struggled. The fact is, it could be any number of things that he tells us. But the reality is, we all have something that reminds us of our frailty. We all have something that tells us, you can't do life on your own. You're not good enough. And what Paul is telling us is that actually may be God's gift to you. Like Paul, it brings us back down to earth. Paul says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. And God's response was no. Maybe you know what that feels like. I know what that feels like. When you pray repeatedly for God to change your situation and you wait for an answer and there is no change. Or there is a change and it's not what you wanted. It can be really hard to have faith when you're not sure if God will say yes or no. Marg, when she prayed this morning, right, she referred to that, like just to have that faith. You're not sure whether God will say yes or no, or if you will see what you want to see. But Paul didn't just receive a no. Paul prayed that it would be taken from him. God didn't just say no. God answered him, as he answers many prayers. He did not take away the thing, but he gave Paul strength to bear it. God doesn't always spare us the things that we ask him to take away, but he gives us the strength to be able to conquer them. When weakness becomes strength. So in verse 9, it says, my grace is sufficient for you. So this is God talking to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So in other words, you don't need the thorn removed, Paul. You need my grace to deal with it. God doesn't spare him the thorn in his flesh, whatever it might be. He strengthens him in it. says, my grace is sufficient, sufficient, and my power is made perfect in weakness. So we're not seeing Paul's strength through it. We're not seeing Paul say, well, look at how strong I was because I dealt with the thorn in my flesh and I came out the conqueror. He's saying, I was weak. God was strong. It's not by thinking, well, I've got to get it all together, I've got to figure this out, that God's power works in and through us. It's as we realize that we need him and that we're weak without him. Have you all seen the movie Castaway? It's like 26 years old, so spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. So the main character, Chuck Noland, played by Tom Hanks, he's the kind of guy, he has his life together, he's like a business executive, and he solves problems for a living, but when his plane goes down, he is left to fend for himself, and he realizes he's incapable of fixing his problem and that he's not as strong as he thought. What many don't realize is that Castaway is based on the book Robinson Crusoe that a lot of us had to read in elementary school. It's a book about an explorer stranded on an island, but the book Robinson Crusoe is based off of the real-life story of a sailor named Alexander Selkirk. So Selkirk was a sailor in the early 1700s. He had an argument with his captain and demanded to be put ashore on a remote island off the coast of Chile, believing that the ship was unsafe. So they did. They left him there on an island by himself. He got what he asked for. At first, he was very confident in his decision. He thought, he was right, I can handle this, I'm strong enough to live on an island by myself. Once the ship disappeared over the horizon, the reality hit that he was alone and he had no rescue plan. Again, 1700s, there's no, you know, cell reception. He survived on this island for over 4 years. Accounts say that early on he was overwhelmed, he was isolated, he was in fear, he was in despair. But over time, something shifted. So he was left with his belongings. One of the belongings that he had been left with was a Bible. He began to read his Bible regularly. He developed rhythms of prayer. Later reports describe him as spiritually transformed, more patient, more reflective. He was grounded in the Lord and in what the Lord had done in him over the course of his time on the island. He was not changed because he was strong, because he could say, oh, I was able to survive. I was so strong that I was able to live on an island for 4 years. When he came off the island, he shared that he survived because he was weak and he learned to depend on God to give him strength. Our world throws a lot of phrases at us, right? So I talked about social media a little bit, but even beyond social media, we get a lot of like the motivational, believe in yourself, you've got this, if you work hard enough, you can handle anything. We hear a lot of those kind of like inspirational, motivational phrases. But Paul says something completely different. He says, it's not when I'm strong that Christ's power rests on me, it's when I'm weak. It's when I stop pretending that I've got it all together and I realize I don't got this. Boasting displays either our insecurity or our pride. Again, nothing wrong with it when you share the things that you've achieved and the things that you've done. But to share those things just for the sole purpose of wanting to be told that we're attractive or we're successful or we're smart, underneath, it doesn't make any difference in what's happening in us if we have pride. If our pride tells us that we're really better than everybody else, boasting is never going to bring us down. But the Lord is able to work through that. Paul can say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So Paul's not saying don't boast. He's saying boast in how you are weak so that we may see the power of Christ through you. Paul discovered it was in emptying himself and realizing his emptiness that he could experience Christ's fullness. He acknowledged his weakness so that he could experience Christ's power. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's the end of all boasting there. I don't know how any of the other leaders could have gone on talking about how strong they were when Paul said, I am weak, therefore I am strong through God's power. As believers, we should be boasting, but not in our strength or our success or our spiritual experiences. We boast in our weaknesses because that's how we see that we are not self-sufficient and we don't rely on our own strength. Our weakness shows that God's grace is sufficient, His power is perfect, and His strength doesn't depend on ours. Now, God won't delight in our pain, and He's not going to give us something to make us weak, but He will use our weakness. He uses the thorn in our flesh so that we never forget that it is His strength shining through us. And if we are weak, how much greater is He? If I know that I am weak and I can openly boast about how weak I am, and God uses me to touch someone else, well, then all glory to God. What if the thing in my life that I'm trying to eliminate, to get rid of, what if that's the thing that God wants to use to display His power? Sometimes the thorn in our flesh that God gives us is not a sign that He's absent. It's a sign that He's shaping us. And often, when we have that unanswered prayer, we feel like maybe the Lord has neglected me, right? God, where are you? What are you doing? I asked God this last week, what are you doing? But often, when we feel that way, it's an invitation to lean into the Lord and depend on Him to show His power through you. Let's just take a few minutes as we wrap up today. Let's respond to what God might be asking you to do. Is there something in your life that you have asked God to take away and He has not? How can you use that thing to show God's glory in your life? Is there an area in your life that you feel you could not possibly step into, but God is asking you to step into? Let's just take a minute and just reflect. Just maybe take a few moments of silence and just reflect on maybe what is that thing in your life that you don't even realize it's there. Maybe it's been there for a really long time and you're just like, why isn't God taking this? And let's just ask God, well, what do you want to do with that thing in my life, that thorn in my flesh? We'll just take a minute and then I'll close this in prayer. Father, I thank you for the gifts that you give us. Sometimes we don't realize that it's a gift. Paul considered the thorn in his flesh a gift. And I pray for each one of us as we reflect that you would remind us of the gifts that you have given us that keep us realizing that we are weak without you, Father. We just thank you for Paul's words. I pray that you would continue to remind us that your grace is sufficient for us. That you are so good. You can use us despite our weaknesses, because of our weaknesses, Father. So I just invite you this morning. If there's anyone that's just felt like you're neglecting them, that you're not answering that prayer, God, why have you said no to taking that away? Just invite you. Fill them with your Holy Spirit this morning. Would you help us to reframe our thinking?
so that we just allow you to shine through us. For each person here, God, whatever it is that you're saying this morning, we just invite you to continue your good work. Continue to show your strength through us and our weakness. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.LadnerLife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.